You're listening to Amud Vechazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Amud Mem Gimel, Amud Beis. I am on the clock, as always, but I've been challenged. Let's see how I do. Amud Rav Gidol, Amud Rav Hai. Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav Hai. Sorry, nope. Not Rav Hai. Rav Hai Gon. I mean, I didn't think it was Rav Hai Gon, but but Amar Rav. He said the name of Rav. Hai Simlak. This Simlak, which Rashi says is Yasmin, which means jasmine, Mivarachin Iloy Bere Atzei Besamim. So the bracha that you're going to make on that is as Atzei Besamim, right? It's a type. It's like a wood of sorts. As opposed to isfe, like grasses. Amar Rav Chanana, Amar Rav Hani, Chalfe Dima. So these Chalfe Dima, Rashi says it's Bosom Shakurin Aspig Vahu Shibolas Nerd, right? We know from the Ketorah, right? The spike nard, the Shibolas Nerd. So that's what we're talking about over here. What's the bracha on them? Mevarachin Alayhu Borei Atzei Besamim. Again, Atzei Besamim. Amar Mar Zutra, Maikra. What's the pasuk that supports these things? Meaning these things are not really, they're in stalks, they're not really wood, so maybe you would think to say it's grass. Isve v'samim. So why do we say atze? So what's the pasuk that backs it up? So v'hi ha'lasam ha'gana v'titma name b'pishte ha'etz. So this is a pasuk in at the beginning of Yeshua, the story of the Meraglim, Yeshua's Meraglim, where they meet up with Rachav and she hides them in the attic. So the pasuk says v'hi halasim hagana v'titmenim, that hagaga that she hid them on the roof, v'titmenim pishte, she brought them to the roof and hid them in the pishte ha'etz, in the flaxes of wood. Ah, flaxes and stalks. You called it eights. So based on this pasuk in Yeshua, we see that things in stalks are actually considered eights, not asev. So you'd say atzei v'samim, not isvei v'samim. Okay. Good. Next, Rav Mishar Shamar, hi narkum. Right. So narkum de gagnunisa. So if you have narkum, which seems to be a rose, and of the ganunisa, so this means in the garden, right? Hegdel begina, says Rashi, in the garden. So mevarchin iloy borei atzei v'samim, didabra, but of like the field, or like in the wild area, not in a garden, borei isvei v'samim. Because just it seems to be that they grow differently. Wild, it could be lilies, wild roses, or garden roses. They'll be a little bit different in their the strength of their stem or whatever it is, and then there will be a different bracha on them. Amar of Sheshes, Hani Sigle, these. Mer, you said.
Did we skip?
Oh, did I skip something? Sorry.
Amar Mar Zutra.
Esrog. No. Before.
Oh, that. Sorry, I skipped. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
I know you're excited to get to the end of the Amud, but so Hani Sigle. So Rashi says Sigle is violish, which I think is violets. I believe so. So this violish, violets. Is what are you going to do on these? Oh, right. Also, right. No, well, segal. I don't know. Yeah. Mevarach alayu borei isvei v'samim. You say borei isvei v'samim. Amar Mar Zutra hayman domorach beesroga o bechavusha. So a person who smells an esrog, which that we know, a citron, or a chavusha, which is a kundinis. Says Rashi, quince, which is a quince. I still don't know what that is. But if you find one and you want to smell it, so what do you do? Omer Barei, Omer Baruch Shanasam Reach Tov Baperos. New bracha. You don't say Isvei Atzei V'Samim. You say Baruch Shanasam Reach Tov Baperos, because these are not for smelling only. They're really grown for eating or for other purposes. So it's considered like a real pre, and it's Nasan Reach Tov Baperos. Okay. Amar of Yehuda, Haiman de Nafik Biyomin Nisan, Vechaze Ilane, Dekam Ilav Leve. Somebody who goes out in the month of Nisan and sees the trees in their bloom. I know my wife is about to look up at me. Omer baruch shalo chiser ba'olamo klum. Ubara bo brios tovos vilanos tovos. Lehisnos bahen. So there's a bracha that you're supposed to say, right? The famous bracha that you say in Nisan, early E, or whatever it is, that it's probably particularly challenging for people to say this year, if they're, especially for me. It's like I'm just like trapped like in a high apartment. But this is the famous bracha of brachos ilanos, that you see them in their bloom. So what's the bracha? That blessed is the one that there's nothing missing in this world. Nothing. Right? I thought there was something missing, but now the flowers are blooming, mamish, nothing is missing. Ubarabo brios tovos, he created nice creations. Vilanos tovos, nice trees, lesnaos bahen, that we're supposed to benefit from. I think the actual lashon that we say, halacha, is lahanos. Rashi says lahanos, as opposed to lehisnaos. But to benefit from them, or right, to benefit ourselves from them. Okay, good. Bahen b'nei adam, that people are supposed to benefit from Hashem's beautiful world. Okay. Let's see. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tovia. So, and we're going to have a long series of teachings from Rav Zutra Bar Tovia. Amar Rav, the name of Rav. Minayim Varchan Ala Reach. How do we know that make a bracha on Reach? Food we know, okay? So we discussed that. How do we know that you should make a bracha on smell also? Right? Do we make a bracha on touch? Do we make a bracha on all the senses? That's a pashit. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, Kol Neshama Te'alil Ka. All of my neshama praises you. Eitu davar shanashama nahanas mimenu, which is the type of pleasure in this world that the soul benefits from? Ve'ein haguf nahanas mimenu, right? Because it says the neshama praises God. So what is it that the neshama praises God, detached from the body praising God? Hevi omer zehareach. That's smell, right? Smell is a little bit more spiritual. It makes more sense, right? Than other pleasures that you might get. Right, the food is actually in your body. It's part of you. The smell, they're microscopic particles in your nose, but nothing really went into you. It's more of a spiritual idea, right? Even the word reach itself is milashon ruach. It's the only I don't know if it's true across the board that it's the only scent. This is the only one of the five senses that can't be used for a davar avera. Maybe it can, but at least in Gan Eden, like it's discussed in like Sefer Kabbalah and Chassidus, that it was the only one of the five senses that didn't sin in Gan Eden. All of the others were actually involved in the process. Not all befeirs in the pasuk. Some of them in drushim. Right, the touching it, and the smell, and the tasting it, and the looking at it, and desiring it, whatever. Listening to the nachash. So the scent wasn't included there. So anyway, there's a lot more you can look into this, but not for now. That's a source that we would make a bracha on smell. V'amar Rav Zutra Bar Tovia Amar Rav Asidim Bachura Yisrael Sheitnu Reach Tov Kelevanon. In the future, the Bachura Yisrael, usually I don't know how Bachurim smell, but in the future, the Bachurim will smell really good, right? No more coasting, right? Getting looks, okay. No more coasting. They're gonna smell Kelevanon like Levanon. Shenamar, like a frankincense. So, what's the source for this? Shenamar, Yilchu Yomiko Nosa, Vihi Kizayas Hodu Vereach Lo Kilvanon, right? The Pharisee Apostle says that they're going to smell like this, actually it's not Lavona, it's Lavanon, so I guess the Lebanon forest, which I guess smells great. Better than what they could smell like. Okay. V'amar Rav Zutra Bar Tovia Amar Rav, Ma'idichsiv Eskol Asa Yafa Bito. Shalom Melech says in Koheles, everything is good in its time. Everything is nice in its time. So, Josh on this. Melami Shakol Echav Yachad Yafel Lo or Yifel Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Umnaso Bifonav. That every person, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that he made everyone's craft pleasant for them, right? So usually people enjoy their careers, that they have netios towards certain careers, and they enjoy it, and it excites them. And one person could talk about his career with such love and affection, and someone else couldn't care less. And it's a beautiful thing that Hashem put into the Bria, that people have different netios, because if everybody liked one thing, then no one would do that other thing, and we'd be in big trouble. So Baruch Hashem, we live in a world where, you know, where it's possible that, you know, a scientist can enjoy his science and a garbage man can enjoy taking out the garbage, and and the like. Amar Rav Papa, Hainu Damri Inchi. This is what people say. Ta le kora ledavar acher. That you can take a, so you can hang a kora. So I think this is the hearts of palm that we discussed earlier, right? On a dover acher. So Rashi says it's a chazir. The Gemara doesn't want to say chazir. It doesn't want to say pig. It's not a clean thing. Gemara is more firm than me. I said it, but that's what the dover acher is referring to. And it's also more firm than Rashi because Rashi says chazir. So, and there's also, I've seen this in Midrashim also, using this lashon, a dover acher. So let's, and anyway, you could hang this koran, this type of food on it, vihu didei ovid, and it itself is going to do it. And Rashi explains what it means is that this, that if you give an opportunity, to give it clean food, and what's it going to do? Vihu yagalgalenu, says Rashi, ba'ashpa shazuhi onaso. The pig is going to say, oh, perfect, you gave me clean food. Let me drag it into the mud and roll over in the mud and enjoy it the way I like to enjoy it, because the pig likes his craft, rolling around in mud. That's, you know, that's why he gets paid the big bucks, and therefore he would take his food and eat it that way as well. A torch is like two, but as I'm sure you can expect, a moon is like three. What? Okay. So what it's referring to interactions at night. Rashi says le'inyan hayotzi b'layla da'amar mar. Right, so the master said you shouldn't go out at night. There are problems. One of the reasons that might be a problem to go out at night by yourself is that you might come in contact with demons, various damagers. So if you have an avuka, if you have a torch at night, so you're not fully by yourself, yet you're doing a torch, that's like two. And a moon, if there's a shining moon, that's like three. Ibayilu, they asked a question. Avuka kishnayim bahade didei, o dima avuka kishnayim lebar midei. When you said that the torch is like two, does that mean that it's like it's this guy and this torch counts as a second person? Or it's this guy and his torch counts like two people? So now like you have a group of three. Right? So we're not asking for a question of making a mazumin. We'll explain the relevance of it being like two people. So let's see. Toshma, so we're going to bring a proof from the second half of the Maimer. V'yareach kishlosha. So we said a moon is like three. So Ian Rabbi Shlomo Bahadidi Day Shapir. So if you're going to tell me that it means that including him, meaning the moon is three, and that's including him, so it's like two more people, and the torch is like one more person, so that makes sense. It's all good. Eli Yomrat Lebar Midi Day. But if you're saying not including him, meaning it's in addition to him, Arba Alamali. Why do you need four? Meaning that the purpose of this mimer is supposed to tell us that if you have a torch, it's one level, and it's a level higher if you have a moon. So if you're going to tell me that this it's talking about, this makes it three people and this makes it four people, but we're going to see in a moment that four is not really a mila over three. Four and three are basically the same as our five and six, right? As we'll see. Vaha marmar, but the master said, le'echad nireh, a person who, umazik, a person who's by himself, so the damager will appear to him and damage him. Lishnayim, but if there's two, nira ve'eno mazik. So, right, you'll see him, but he's not going to start up. There are two guys that I'm not going to mess with both of them, right? Lishlosha eno nira, but if there are three, eno nira kol ikar, you don't see it at all. So basically what we see is that there's a different level between one, two, and three, but there's no difference between three and four, three and five, three and six. Therefore, if the teaching tells us the torch is two, and the moon is three, it must be including him. Otherwise, there would be no point of a differentiation between those categories. Ela lav shma mina, rather, isn't that true that we learn from here? Avuka kishnayim bahadei didei, that it's two with him, meaning it's one additional person. Shma mina, indeed, we do learn from that. V'yomar rav zucha bar tovia, another teaching, amar rav. V'amri la, and some say it was amar rav chana bar bizna, amar rabbi shimon chasida, v'amri la, and some say it was actually amar rabbi yochanan mishun rabbi shimon ben yochai. What's the teaching? Noach lo la'adam shi'apil atzmo l'soch kivshana eish. It's better for a person to lower himself into a fiery furnace, va'al yalbin p'nei chavera barabim, rather than the whiten his friend's face in public, meaning to embarrass his friend in public. Minon, where do we know this? Famously, mitamar, from Tamar. Right? Perek lamet ches, of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayeshev. I don't know if you ever learned this yeah, Gavi, but there's an interesting story here. Shenemar, he motzas, as it says, Vegomer, it says that she is brought out. So I'll just say the story very briefly. Sure, you learned it, Avi. But the story is that Tamar becomes pregnant from Yehuda, and Tamar, but Yehuda doesn't know that Tamar, that he impregnated Tamar. He thought, right, her face was covered. He thought she was somebody else, or whatever. And then Tamar, but then it turns out that Tamar is pregnant. And right, she's pregnant, but she was supposed to be marrying Yehuda's son. So Yehuda said that Tamar should be brought to be killed, and she had proof that it was Yehuda who had impregnated her, but she didn't say straight out. She brought out the proof, and she said, "You identify this," meaning she was waiting. She let Yehuda be the one to say, "Oh, it was me," rather than calling him out, even though if Yehuda wouldn't have stepped up and admitted, she would have been killed, and as well as her her two unborn children. And therefore we see that she was willing to throw herself in a fiery furnace rather than embarrass Yehuda. Now there's a discussion in the Farshim: is this meant literally, or is this meant or is it in, you know, is it exaggerated? You know, it could be halakha lemaisa a lot, you know, rather than embarrass somebody. Either way, at the end of the day, you learn very important, you know, you learn about the gravity of embarrassing somebody else. If there's even a havamina or even a just a comparison to murder, right? You whiten somebody's face. It's right, like when a person, when they die, they're pale. It's a form of killing them, Chazal say. So it's just something to, at the very least, to take out of it, even if it may not be halacha l'maisa. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in Braisa, Heviyu l'fan of Shem and Vahadas, they brought before somebody oil and hadas. That one we also know from Sukkot, myrtle. So Rashi says, Besofa su'uda shemen l'soch yadav, he anoints his hands with oil. We had that actually in Membeis. Such a concept. It was one of the havaminas of when the suda ends, maybe after washing with oil. Lahavir zuhamas ha'ochlim, to get over the filth of the food. Vahadas la'reach, kamosha marno, and right, they want a good smell, and they want something to clean their hands. So now you have both of these things out, and you want to know what to make the barachan. Beishamay omr mevarach al shemen, v'yachachach mevarach al hadas, v'beishil omr mevarach al hadas, v'yachachach mevarach al shemen. They have machlokas, which one you make the barachan first and after that. Rabbi Gamliel said later on, "Ani achria, I am going to be machria. I'm going to decide between the two. Shemen zachinu l'recho v'zachinu l'tzichaso. Oil is great because we're zocha to its smell and to its anointing ability. Hadas l'recho zachinu l'tzichaso lo zachinu. Therefore, it seems that he holds like Beis Shammai that you would rather make a bracha on the oil because it has two benefits as opposed to the myrtle, the hadas, because it only has one." Rabbi Yochanan says, "Halacha kedivrei machria." The halacha is in accordance with the machria, referring to Rabbi Gamliel in this situation. Rav Papa ikla lebei Rav Huna berei de Rav Ika. Rav Papa came before the bei Rav Huna, Rav Huna de Rav Ika. Aisu lekamayu shemen v'hadas. They brought both in front of him. Shokal Rav Papa barich hadas v'reisha. Rav Papa made the bracha on the hadas first. Okay, so which is against Rabbi Gamliel and against Rabbi Yochanan Paskin Rabbi Gamliel, which is against Beis Shammai. V'hadar barich Hashemen, and afterwards he made the bracha on Hashemen. Amar lei, he said to him, he said to Rav Papa, lo sevel lamar halacha k'divrei machria. Does the master not hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds like Rabbi Gamliel, the machria, who holds like Beis Shammai? Amar lei, he said to him, halacha amar Rava. This is what Rava said, halacha k'beis Hillel. The halacha is in accordance with Beis Hillel, as you would expect in general. But this is very interesting. We're about to see very strange. I don't have a good shot, except for, well, we'll see. Velohi, but it's not so. Lishtamute nafshehu da'avid. He did that to get himself out of the situation. Right? Rashi explains. What did he do? Velohi? Lo, right? Velohi? Lo amar Rava hilchasa k'beis Hillel. Rava never said that. Ela Rav Papa Achsif, he was embarrassed. Lefisha Tah, he made a mistake. Lishmanat Mekach, so he wanted to get out of his mistake by saying, "Oh no, you don't know what Rava said. Rava said that's a halacha," which is like mind boggling that Rav Papa would do such a thing. Tosfos, says that this is our Gerson, this is Rashi's Gerson. It also says, right, Hachi Amar. So he says, Kach Subasvarm Shalom, this is our Gerson, Ubeferish Rashi. It's also in Rashi. Aval Rav Ilfas, right, but the Rif, Pasach Kirava. He paskins the halacha like Rava, like the theoretical Rava, Mashma Shalohaya Goris Besifro Velohi Vukhule. Meaning, which implies that in the Rif's version of the Gemara, this line wasn't here. It stopped after, no, the Rava says halacha like Rava. And this Velohi line wasn't included in his Girsa of the Gemara. So I'm sure the Mefarshim deal with how to explain Pshat. I mean, according to the Girsa that we have and that Rashi and Tosfos had, Rav Papa does something really surprising, and I'm sure the Mefarshim discuss how that could be. But we should just be aware, Tosfos says that the Rif must have had a different gear of the Gemara, because he paskins halacha like Rav, and I think actually we even hold like that lahalacha, like this Rava. So it could be we even paskin against this Gemara. I wonder if part of the reason that I don't know the sugi and the Beis Yosef and the Daki Moshe, but it could be that part of the reason for that is because it's so surprising what Rav Papa does here. Okay. Anyway, we'll maybe in the Chazars, if you see anything, hear anything. I'm very curious about this one. Tana Rabbanan have the olive name Shem and Vayayin, Beis Shamayon, Oches Hashem, Abimi, Novesayan, Bismolo. If they brought before him wine and oil, these Rashi says these are both after the meal. Beis Shamayon, Oches Hashem, Abimi, Novesayan, Bismolo. He says that you take the oil in your right hand and the wine in your left hand, and that's when you're going to Mevarech al Hashem, Vachos, and Mevarech al Yayin. Right, generally you make the bracha on the thing in the right hand. So you're going to first make the bracha on the oil and then on the wine. Beis Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel say, Ochet Yayin Bimino Ves Hashem Bismola Mevarech Al Yayin Vechozer Mevarech Al Hashem. So they argue whether you should do the oil or the wine first. And then Beis Hillel says something interesting. V'tachu Barosh Hashamash. And you shall, and then you should smear it, the oil that's left over in the hands, on the head of the waiter. I don't know if you've ever done this when you were going out to eat with the waiter. Vim shamash tamid chacham, but if the attendant, if the waiter was a tamid chacham, who? So tachul makosa, you should smear it on the wall. Mipnei shegnai l'tamid chacham l'tzeis l'shuk kishu mevusan, because it's gnai, it's degrading or inappropriate for Talmud Chacham to go out in the shuk, smelling, you know, perfumed. Okay, so let's just explain this quickly. What it seems to be, what we're talking about here, Rashi doesn't address how strange it is that we're like, you know, putting oil in or something in a waiter's head. Rashi just says Kedei Shelo Yetze Biyada Mevusamos B'Shuk Shaganayhu LaTalmud Chacham. So I don't know. It could be that back in the day, that one of the things that the waiter would do is, it could be they had like a turban. I'm totally speculating. It's totally speculative. Could be that the waiter would have a turban. That was like one of the services they would provide, that there's a turban and you, like, it was in their head. Or it could be that it was like only if the waiter would like it. Meaning there are stories in the Gemara about, you know, like people like finding. There's a story in the Mishnah, I forgot, maybe some hedgen, where I forgot where it is, there's oil on the floor and a woman takes it and she takes the oil that's on the floor and she takes off her head covering and puts it on her own head, like oil from the floor. So it was something that you know, could be they appreciated. So if you had some oil and he wanted to smell good, the waiter, so what you would do is wipe it on his head. But right, so it could be that's the situation. I'm sure it's like not, you know, I mean, those are two pshatim I have. I haven't seen anything else. But that's what it seems to be. That the waiter would want to smell nice, so he would want the perfume in his head. Or could be they had some sort of like system that this was a normal thing to do. Because like, it seems so normal, no one like addresses like, what in the world are you doing? So it must be, it was just taken for granted. Like this was the practice. Or it was just totally accepted at the time. Anyway, so, but if he's a Talmud Chacham, so then you should wipe it on the wall. You shouldn't wipe it in his hair, because the same problem with you having it is the problem with him having it, is that a Talmud Chacham should not be going out in the street smelling mevusam, like he has perfume on. So we'll see why. Now this is not going back to, you know, Bachram, you know, that they should smell bad. They don't. It's not saying that. But there's like an extra level of perfume, as well, the Gemara will actually clarify itself. We learned in a brisa there are six things that are ganai to the Talmud Chacham that are degrading and inappropriate for Talmud Chacham. And these are the six things. Al yetzei kishum avusam l'shuk. He shouldn't go out to the shuk smelling like perfume. V'al yetzei yechidi v'layla. And he shouldn't go out by himself at night. V'al yetzei banal mutalayim. And he shouldn't go out with patched shoes. V'al yisaper im isha b'shuk. He shouldn't speak with a woman in the shuk. V'al yisav b'chabura sh'amei haaretz. And he shouldn't recline, meaning eat, with a chabura of amei haaretz. And you shouldn't be the last guy to show up for morning seder. The Yishomerim, and there are those who say, you should also not take large steps, large strides. You shouldn't stand upright all the way. So now we're going to explain each one. What's wrong with each of these six, really, we say eight things? Ah, Yitzik Hashem Avusam L'shok. You shouldn't go out to the shuk mavusam. Amarav Abba bere derechiyav Araba. Amarabi Yochanan. So clarification: b'makom shechashurin al mishkav zachor. It's talking about in a place in particular where people are generally suspect regarding mishkav zachor, acts of homosexuality. This week's parsha at the end of Achrimos, also in Kedushin, actually, I think. So Rashi just says mevasmim atzmam kedeshi is avulahem, that in these makamos where these people would be chashudim al mishkav zachor, so they would make themselves smell nice so that they would desire each other. So why shouldn't he do it? I'm not sure if it's not to arouse the desire of these people or just because he doesn't want to. He shouldn't be suspect, that people shouldn't smell him and say, oh, you're in this place, oh, you must be one of them. If you're Tamei Chacham, it's very, very bad. Bichol Hashem. Amar of Sheish, just lo Amran, and he, another clarification, we only said this, Ela Bibigda, only with his clothing, right? Don't perfume and scent up your clothing. Aval Begufo, Zeyam Avrele, but on his body to put some of the stuff, so it's removing the Zeyam, removing the sweat, meaning, Don't be so firm that you don't put on your deodorant. Okay, deodorant is an important thing for especially for a Talmud Chacham. You're representing the Torah. The whole thing is we're talking Chilul Hashem here. So part of a Chilul Hashem is a Talmud Chacham not wearing deodorant. So if it's on his body, he should make his body smell good. However, to make his clothing perfumey, that's inappropriate. Amar of Papa. Papa says v'sa'aro kibig dodami, and his hair, right, to put this scent in his hair, that's like his clothing and inappropriate. Vamrila, and there's those who say kigufo dami. No, it's your hair. Also, sweat in your hair. Your hair can also smell bad. So it seems to be a machlokas, two different girsos. Whether where do you go? Okay, get the recording. So there are. So it seems that there's two different gersos of whether hair is like the clothing and therefore he should not, or it's like his body and he should. And he shouldn't go out alone at night. Mishum chashda, because he shouldn't be suspect. Shels nus, says Rashi, he shouldn't be suspect of having inappropriate relations. V'lo amran ela delo kaviya le'idna, and we only stated this. If he doesn't have a set time for learning, aval kaviya le'idna. But if he has a set time, like for learning with somebody, right? Shaloka v'lo rabo kaviyos lamda b'layla, says Rashi, that if he has a set time that he learns with his rebbe, right? He has a night seder or a chavrusa every night. So meida yediyah de le'idna ka'azil. Everyone knows that he's going to his night seder, so they know that he's not going to meet some woman somewhere. He's going to his night seder chavrusa, and then there's no concern in that situation. V'al yitzei b'menal ma'amatulayim, and you shouldn't go out with patched shoes. Misayle Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, this is a proof to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, g'nai hu l'tam l'chacham, sh'yitzei b'menal ma'amatulayim. Right, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is an amora, and he said a person should not go, a chatam l'chacham should not go out with patched shoes. We have a braisa, which says the same thing, so this is a support, more than even, maybe even a source, for Rav Chiya bar Abba's statement. Amy, is this true? For Rav Chiya bar Abba, nothing. But Rav Chiya bar Abba himself would go out with shoes that had patches on it. Amar Marzuch, Rav Bereder of Nachman. So he explains, Marzuch Bereder of Nachman answers, B'taloy al gabe talay. No, it's only if you have patches on your patches. right? If your shoes are so bad that there's not only a hole that was patched up, but there was a hole in the patch, and you repatched the patch on the hole, so that's too much. The low so Amran
more patches than actual original shoe.
I'm sorry?
It's like so bad that it's more patches than original shoe.
It's more patches than the original shoe. Yeah. So below Amram, but we only see this El Bafanta, only like with the top of it, the part that's revealed. Ava Begilda Leslanba. But regarding if it's the sole, like the bottom, no one can see that. So then there's no problem here. Ubefanta, and even with the front, Lo Amran Ella Beorcha. That's only if you're going on the road. Ava Bebesa Leslanba. But if he's at home, there's no problem with wearing whatever shoes you want. You can wear bunny slippers. Velo Amran Ella Bimos Hachama Ava Bimos Hachama Leslanba. And it's only a problem in the summer, but in the rainy season, then it's not a problem because people's shoes are muddy anyway, and people won't really notice it. Rashi says Hatit Mechaseo, the mud, if it's rainy, the mud's going to cover it. Could be another shot would just be that, you know, it makes sense that you would be doing not your best shoes when it's raining, so maybe there's more leniency there, but there would be nachkaminas in that situation, actually. Okay, let's continue. The aliasaper im ish b'shuk, and you should not speak to a woman in the shuk, amar Rav Chisda v'afil hi ishto, even his own wife he shouldn't, because, right, so we're going to explain, Tani, we learned in a braisa, because, right, it looks like he's talking to an inappropriate woman for inappropriate intent. It could be, it depends what type of shuk, what type of marketplace, what type of streets we're talking about. But that is what he says. Tanya learned the Brisa, Nami Hafi, similarly, Afilu hi isho, even if she's his wife, Afilu hi bito, even if it's his daughter, Afilu hi achoso, even if it's sister, Lefish ain ko hako bakin bikrovasav. Because not everybody knows, not everyone's an expert in his whole family tree. You don't know what his relatives look like. So you see, Tam Chacham, he's talking to a woman. How do you know it's his sister or his mother, or sorry, not, or his daughter or his wife? So you have to be careful in these situations. V'al yisav b'chabura sh'ame aretz, and don't have a su'uda with a chabura v'ame aretz. My time, why not? Dilma asilim shuchi basrayhu. Because maybe you'll be drawn, he'll be drawn after them and following their ways. You don't want to become too friendly with people who are going to drag you down. V'ayikenes acharon l'beis ha-medrash, don't be the last guy to show up to the beis medrash. Mishim nekaro le'poshe, because they're going to call him negligent. They're going to say, look at this lazy guy. There's a Tamei Chacham, and Misatzel, Rashi says, he's lazy, he's not showing up, and it gives the Tamei Chacham a bad name in general, and it's a Chil HaShem. V'yesh Omrim, af lo yes lafsiya psiya gasa. You also shouldn't take the large steps. Damar Mark, as Mar said, Master said, psiya gasa notalas achar, notalas echad mitaf kuf mima or enav sha'adam. That taking a large step, Nutellus echad mitaf kuf. Tuf kuf is 500. You take 1/500th of the light of his eyes of a person, meaning a person loses that 1/500th of his eyesight by taking large steps. Uh-oh. Very arrogant steps. I've heard this explained not literally. Could be it's also literal. The Mepharshim say, don't worry, if I take 500 big steps, right, someone takes 5, do they go blind? So the answer is no. It could be that it's only the first time he does it, and that's it. Or it could be every time he does it, he loses a 500th of what's left. So 500 big steps won't take away all of it. It'll be 500th of 500th of 500th of 500th. Okay. So my takante, so what do you do to get this eyesight back? Lahadre, to get it back. Bikutsha debe shimshe. Right, that the kiddush of Bein Hashmashos, Rashi says, if you drink it, Shoshos Akoshal Kiddush B'Shabbos B'Layla. I know the, I think it's Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, I forgot what it is, but I don't know where it's sourced, that looking at the candles, Shabbos candles during Vayichulu of Kiddush also brings back some of this eyesight. But he says, Rashi says, drinking the kos Friday night. Okay. Valyahalik become a zakufa, and you shouldn't stand very upright. Damar mar, hamahalik become a zakufa. Afilo arba amos. Somebody who stands up straight upright, and he goes even 4 amos like this. Kilu dochik ragle shchina. It's like he's pushing away the legs of the shchina. Diksiv malichal arts kavodo. Because it says in the pasuk that Hashem's glory fills the world. And when you're trying to take the glory for yourself, so you go 4 amos, you're like pushing away Hashem. Hashem has no. Hashem says, I can't be where anybody's arrogant. If you're going to be arrogant, I'm leaving. I'll go somewhere else. So it's pushing away the legs of the Shekhinah doing such a thing.